Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk a little bit more about the baseball, and our spring training reports are brought to you by WOW TV, phone and internet, Golf Tech, and Krasowski Tractor. And we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we're joined by our Indians beat reporter. You know him better as James Rapine. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey, are you a little surprised that opening day's not sold out yet?
Yeah, I think that's a little surprising. That being said, just because it is opening day, I think there are a bunch of factors, but the biggest one, when Francisco Lindor is unsigned and it feels like it's inevitable that he's going to be traded between, you know, whether it's before the deadline or next offseason, I think it's hard to sell seats, and it's hard to sell optimism, even though this is a pretty good roster and they could be decent this year. So I think that's a big part of it.
I, before we get into some other things, is there any way Lindor's back here long term?
There should be. I mean, no, be honest.
Maybe. I agree with you on that. There should be. But do you think there's any way possible?
No. Yes, it's possible. But is the track record – what is the Indians' track record? The track record is they're probably going to trade him, right? I mean, they've done that in the past with players that wouldn't sign for nearly as much as Lindor. You're going to have to offer Lindor over the next decade. So I think the reality is that they will trade him, and that's the 99% of the time in this scenario that's what they're going to do. Maybe there's the 1% where they find a way, a middle ground, to get him signed long term. But, yeah, I think that they end up trading him, and I would bet it would be next offseason if I had to guess and predict it.
What's your best storyline so far coming out of camp? I mean, I've seen a couple other than the injuries.
I mean, the best storyline is in the most optimistic. I think it would be Franmil Reyes and what he's showed in the outfield, what he's showed at the plate. Because, we talked a lot about him getting in better shape and working on his fielding skills. To potentially contribute in the outfield on a semi-regular basis, 3 to 4 times a week. I don't think anyone's expecting him to be the right or left fielder every day. And he's gotten in better shape, and I think he has improved it defensively. But the other thing that getting in better shape has done is it's given him more power at the plate. And he talked about it at Tribe Fest, and the early returns in spring training have been that. So when you look at a guy in his mid-20s that has the potential that Franmil Reyes has, and he's clearly put in the work this offseason. I think that's something that the Indians organization is excited about, not only in 2020, but beyond. So I think he's the guy kind of that if you're looking for excitement, you're looking for someone to that could be around a long time here in Cleveland, I think Reyes is the guy.
You know, the one thing about this season, James, is to me, you can put this one under the microscope, and this is the perfect example of can the Indians' overall philosophy keep them competitive, because Kluber's not here. Now, you maybe traded him because you think he's done. I don't know. Bauer's not here. You traded him maybe because he was a headache to you at times, but they're also highly paid guys, so you got rid of that. You're going with the outfield, keeping your fingers crossed that you find some guys. You're thinking you're developing the young starting pitching. If they can pull this off this year, I think it's huge for the organization, because – to me, it is, it's like, here's your test tube right here. Can it work?
Yeah, can it work if you mean essentially building around Lindor?
No.
In general? Building
without, and I don't mean, because I'm not expecting Lindor to be here. I mean, specifically with the pitching and not going nutso with an outfielder, you know, where you go out and you you spend big money on a free agent outfielder or something like that. Can you sustain your success by developing your own young guys?
Yeah, and I certainly think that last year when they went out and got the Carlos Gonzalez's and Hanley Ramirez's and guys like that, even Leonis Martin, and they had those type of players starting on opening day and contributing early in the season, that they learn their lesson quickly. And that's why I don't think they'll hesitate if Daniel Johnson has a great spring, and I know he's dealing with a sprained ankle now, or he's really good in AAA early in the season. I don't think they'll hesitate to bring him up because Oscar Mercado kind of set that trend, right, and kind of gave them an example of what could happen there. The Zach Plesac of the world, the Aaron Savales of the world, those guys have shown that young guys can come up and join a playoff race and join a winning team in the Indians' culture, what Francona does, just kind of what they've built. They could come into that and be a part of it. So I think that is certainly something you saw flashes of it last year. And if – here's the thing, and I'll take it a step further, Jeff, because this is where I thought you were going with it. If they were to let's look at the scenario where they would keep Lindor long term, right?
Okay, I know where you're going. Yep, go.
It would have to be with young guys. It would have to be with a young rotation where they're not necessarily paying $20 million for Bieber and $20 million for Clevinger down the line, and $20 million for an outfielder or two. Yeah. They would have to have these guys on their first 7 years of their career, be able to bring them up young and develop them in the minors quickly enough to where they could come in and contribute right away. And so I do think if they do get good returns here from, the Daniel Johnsons, Oscar Mercado, obviously, maybe he builds on what he did last year, and you can see that, then maybe they look at it and say, all right, we are capable of doing it. I think the front office is. I think they could build around a $35 million a year contract and still be a really competitive playoff, not only contending team, but team that could be dangerous in the playoffs. But, that remains to be seen if they would be willing to do something like that. But I think they're capable of building that kind of roster. And this roster, outside of – I mean, there's not a lot of guys making big money. Carlos Santana is one of them. But there aren't many guys around Lindor making big money on this team.
James Rapino, Indians beat reporter, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know, you look around, you look at the projections for this season, and like USA Today took their top – six guys and said the Indians will win 86 games. I don't want to get into how many games are they going to win. My question for you is what is a realistic measure of success for this team if you're an Indians fan? Are you saying, okay, they just need to make the playoffs, they need to win one round? What is realistic for a team, especially when you look at this rotation going into the season?
They certainly need to make the playoffs. I think that's a minimum. When you look at if you're painting the successful 2020 Indian season, what needs to happen? I would say make the playoffs, and I don't want to say win the division because we know how good the Twins were, and they added Donaldson to that lineup, and I think they're going to be really good again. But get in potentially, it can't be they get in and they're limping in and no one expects them to make a run. Almost have hope because we never know what's going to happen in baseball. But if we're going into mid-September knowing they're going to make the playoffs and people in Cleveland are thinking, hey, the Indians might make a run, then I think that's kind of an acceptable season. Last year, even if they would have got in, guys, did many people around town think that they were capable of making a playoff run? I would say no. So I think finding a way to not only win, because they won 93 games last year, win, qualify for the playoffs, and as you're going into October, people believing that you can make a run, I think that would, regardless of whether you do or not, I think that would be a success considering what they've moved on from, the established players that they've moved on from and the youngsters they'll be relying on.
James, if you had to give it your best guess, your rotation on opening day, and let's go ahead and include five men because eventually you'll need five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be Bieber. I'm still going to say Carlos Carrasco because I think that he listed his day-to-day. I think that's a good sign. We might not see him much this spring, but I think he could certainly start the season on the roster and not on the injured list. And then I'd go Plesac, Savale in either order, and Adam Pletko. I think Mike Clevinger's injury, he's a guy that, he's dealt with some injuries over the past year and a half, 2 years. You need to take the slow because of how dominant he could be. And it's his plant leg. He lands on that leg each time he throws a pitch. And we know he's got that unique technique, I guess, on the mound, unique style on the mound. So I would take my time with Clevenger. And honestly, I would take my time with Carrasco as well. If he's not ready to go or not 100%, then let Yeffrey Rodriguez, who didn't pitch well yesterday, but let him start the season. Let a Logan Allen get a couple of starts under his belt and then bring those guys back. Because the last thing you can risk here is Clevenger missing 3 months like he did last year, is Carrasco missing as much time as he did last season due to injury. So hopefully if they can avoid that, they'd be in good shape. But if I had to predict the five, I would say Bieber 1, Carrasco 2, Plesac and Savali, and then Adam Pletko.
I know we talk about rotation, starting rotation, but how many spots do you think are up for grabs in the bullpen?
Oh, and the Emmanuel Clase, and
yeah,
he certainly throws a wrench into that, because I think they were, and they still are, but they were extremely excited about what he was going to add. I look at this bullpen and guys like Whitgren, obviously, Simber, Perez, they're going to be there. The thing that I think will be interesting on the back end, let's say a Yeffrey Rodriguez doesn't make it rotation-wise. Does he go to AAA, or do you just put him in the bullpen, and does he end up being that long relief type of guy? I think that's something that we'll have to see. Logan Allen as well. You know, do they kind of leave these guys in AAA instead of bringing in, you know, so they can kind of be backups in the rotation if something happens with some of these guys that have dealt with injuries over the past couple of years? Or do you put them in the bullpen and make your major league team that much better, knowing if one of the starters goes down, their arm might not be stretched out enough to replace them? So I think that will be the balance here, is figuring out which young guys you're going to send to AAA, and if there's a guy or two that potentially deserves to just slide over to the bullpen and help you right away.
Expect anybody to jump up and make this team who are not who maybe isn't on the radar? And I'm wondering, I think Domingo Santana makes the team, but I'm really curious about his role, because I would love to see that guy get 400 to 500 at-bats, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know about that many, but I do think that I'm with you. I think he makes the team. I think that some of these guys, I mean, it's really hard, honestly, to see like a scenario where a Jake Bowers, outside of just having a huge spring, starts in the big leagues. I mean, you got so many guys ahead of him. Mercado, DeShields, Luplo, Santana, you mentioned, obviously Reyes. So I think that's it's going to be hard to see many surprises. Barring injury, I don't think we're going to see many surprises, because the infield's pretty set. The rotation, for the most part, is set. We kind of know the five or six guys that are going to compete now for five spots, with Clevenger dealing with his injury and Carrasco banged up. So I would be shocked if there's anything big, but I'm with you. I think Santana should get a bunch of at-bats, and I think the difference with this year's team, guys, versus last year's team is this team, especially if Reyes is playing 4 to 5 times in the outfield a week and can do that consistently, and then you have Santana at DH, Domingo Santana, suddenly this lineup is pretty powerful from the get-go.
Yeah.
And instead of winning 2-1 and really just kind of dragging out these games and trying to just get through it and find a way to win, I think that they'll be able to outscore some teams, which was certainly a 180 from where they were a year ago at this time.
You think that's part of the thinking? All right, if we're going to get rid of Kluber and Bauer's not going to be here, and maybe we have some other questions, we better get some guys who can drive in some runs?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And it has to be. And it should have been anyways. And I think the Santana deal, he's not as flashy as a Yasiel Puig, so to speak, but I think if he's your DH, that's a good place to be, right? If he's the guy, and Jeff, you said 400 to 500 at-bats, heck, if he's hitting 350 to 400, I'll take it. You know,
yeah.
If he's in there to give you that kind of power, is he going to strike out a bunch? Yeah, but is he going to give you a triple like he did the other day that scored a couple of runs? Yeah, he's also going to do that too. And when you have guys around him, the Franmil Reyeses, the Francisco Lindors, Carlos Santana, I mean, suddenly that lineup feels pretty good. And then the other thing, and we haven't talked about it much, but Cesar Hernandez, I know he got let go by the Phillies because of the number they would have had to bring him back. He's an upgrade from Jason Kipnis, and I think the Indians feel strongly about him and like what he could bring to the team as well.
Let me leave you this last question. We only got about a minute left. How much of a difference will it make with the roster being expanded to 26? And then I know it's hard to – like, that you can see right away, opening day, right? You got one extra player on the team. You'd be like, oh, okay, we picked up an extra pitcher. We brought in – we kept another extra outfielder. Mm-hmm. But then the other roster change this year is that no more 40-man, and then you can go to 28. And I'm wondering, I know you won't feel the impact in the beginning of the season, but how do you think that impacts trading deadline? How will that impact a lot of things? I mean, that's going to speed the game up. I know one thing, but what kind of an impact do you see from that?
Yeah, I think the overall strategy, especially with the 26-man, I think that bodes well. And maybe this is why, because I think fans in general have been critical of the Kluber trade and have wondered a little bit about it, especially the Shields aspect. But it almost allows you, if you're the Indians, to have a guy like that who can come in the sixth or seventh inning and be a defensive guy and pinch run and do different things like that. So I think Terry Francona probably likes that idea. How it impacts the trade deadline, yeah, it remains to be seen. But I think that it allows a team like the Indians to be a little more creative in what they do day in and day out. And I think when you have a manager like Terry Francona that you trust, I think that's a good spot to be in.
James Rapine, awesome job. You've been doing great filling in at night as well, too. I've been listening to the show. Thanks, James.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, James, also our Indians beat reporter. That's his full-time gig. And spring training reports, well, you know we've got them for you every day here on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.